Do you know that every single person is special in this world? Amen. Every single person is so special to Jesus, and it's wonderful when we can just celebrate people. Amen. Isn't that what it's about? Celebrating each life, each person. If I have to ask you this evening, what is the Spirit of the Lord saying? What would you say? It would be interesting to hear different answers and different opinions and different experiences. And obviously the Spirit is not just saying one thing. The Spirit is saying things very specifically to each one. But I do believe the Spirit of the Lord is saying something to the body of Christ. Wouldn't you agree? So maybe I should ask the question, what do you think the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the body of Christ as a whole? And what is the Spirit of the Lord saying to Shofar Bloemfontein? Maybe we should, for the next 30 minutes, just close our eyes and be silent and hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. But don't worry, you don't have to do that. That's why you've come to church tonight. Who's expectant for a word from the Lord tonight? Because I share with you what I believe the Spirit of the Lord is saying. Does anyone want to know, or does anyone else want to share here this evening? Or but I really believe that there's something significant in our name, Shofar. Wouldn't you say? In the last couple of weeks, we've been teaching on the basics of the faith, and then we went on to do the basics of who we are as a church, what is our name, and Jan so nicely taught it at Encounter 2, the home encounter we had a couple of Wednesdays ago. And when he was talking about the name Shofar, I just realized again how significant it is, and how many times we just, oh, great, we in Shofar, but we don't understand always what is it that God is saying to us, and what is our calling on this earth as the body of Christ, but as a specific part of the body of Christ. So that's what I'm going to talk about tonight. And the Lord gave me a word a while ago, and I took the first part of the title of my sermon from what happened on the 22nd of April, more than a month ago. Yeah, more than a month ago now. Can you believe it? It's called, what was it called? It's Time. So the title of my sermon tonight is, It's Time, dot, 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 to blow the shofar. I really believe God is saying it's time to blow the shofar. But what does that mean? Well, I'll tell you now. But watch this clip first before we carry on. Because this happened at that It's Time event. And it was just exciting to know God is speaking. This is a shofar. Anyone want to blow it? Seriously, there was someone had a lot of guts this morning. She'd never blown a shofar before, and she got it right by the end of the service. The beginning was a bit. But I believe it's time to blow the shofar. Can I have an amen? I believe it's time to blow the shofar. And there's an amazing story in the book of Joshua, chapter 6. Many of us know the story of Joshua, and most people know only this when it comes to the book of Joshua. They know about the walls of Jericho that fell. But the Lord took me to the scripture, and I just want to read from verse 15 to verse 27, and then just just share three things that I believe are significant when it comes to blowing the shofar. Because, you know, many times we blow the shofar and we don't really know what it signifies. We don't really know what it means. And tonight I trust that you'll be empowered and encouraged and challenged and inspired to respond to the blowing of the shofar. Amen. Because I believe if the shofar blows, I believe we as God's people, but if we in a church called shofar, surely we should be knowing what the Spirit of the Lord is saying, and we should respond to that. Not because we're special or anything else, but I believe God has chosen us. I believe it's significant that we're in a church called shofar. Wouldn't you agree? And so let's read together. The story goes that the Israelites were told by Joshua to march around the city seven times or for 7 days. And so for 6 days, they only marched around once in those 6 days and then or once every day. And it says here on the seventh day, the Israelites got up at dawn and they marched around the town. Say, got up at dawn. Just want to say that to the students tonight. Say, got up at dawn. Okay. I want to say it again to the young people. Got up at dawn. You know, when you have kids, you get up at dawn, like, you know, they wake you up, okay? It's like, they wake up when the sun comes up, it's like, the day's ready, let's go, you know, like, I've got little Nathan, like, he's a little Duracell bunny, like, you know, life just happens. The only time he's quiet is when he sleeps, and so, in the morning, it's like, hello, I'm here, you know, wake up. So, students, get up at dawn, okay? Don't study until dawn. Get up at dawn. So on the seventh day, they got up at dawn and they marched around the town as they had done before. But this time they went around the town 7 times. The seventh time around, as the priests sounded the long blast on their horns, Joshua commanded the people, "Shout, for the Lord has given you the town. Jericho and everything in it must be completely destroyed as an offering to the Lord. Only Rahab the prostitute and the others in her house will be spared, for she protected our spies. Do not take any of the things set apart for destruction, or you yourselves will be completely destroyed, and you will bring trouble on the camp of Israel. Everything made from silver, gold, bronze, or iron is sacred to the Lord and must be brought into his treasury." When the people heard the sound of the ram's horns, they shouted as loud as they could. Suddenly, the walls of Jericho collapsed, and the Israelites charged straight into the town and captured it. They completely destroyed everything in it with their swords, men and women, young and old, cattle, sheep, goats, and donkeys. Meanwhile, Joshua said to the two spies, "Keep your promise. Go to the prostitute's house and bring her out along with all her family." And the men who had been spies went in and brought out Rahab, her father, mother, brothers, and all the other relatives who were with her. They moved the whole family to a safe place near the camp of Israel. Then the Israelites burnt the town and everything in it. Only the things made from silver, gold, bronze, or iron were kept for the treasury of the Lord's house. Say, treasury of the Lord's house. And so Joshua spared Rahab the prostitute and her relatives who were with her in the house, because she had hidden the spies Joshua sent to Jericho. And she lives among the Israelites to this day. At that time, Joshua invoked this curse: "May the curse of the Lord fall on anyone who tries to rebuild the town of Jericho. At the cost of his firstborn son, he will lay its foundation. The cost of his youngest son, he will set up its gates." And so the Lord was with Joshua. Say, the Lord was with Joshua. And his reputation spread throughout the land. There is something significant about the blowing of a shofar. The blowing of a trumpet, and we've got a modern trumpet in our band, a modern shofar in the form of a trumpet. So I'm going to ask Charlotte at the end of the service, we're going to blow the trumpet. And if anyone wants to blow the shofar with Charlotte, you're welcome to. But I believe there's something significant when a shofar is blown. And so I want to look at just three things which I believe are significant out of the story. Three responses to this blowing of the shofar by all the priests. And just take a note, the priests blew the shofar. Not just one, not Joshua, all the priests blew the shofar. Can anyone tell me who are the priests today? Who are the priests today? Do you know that you're a priest? Does anyone know that you're a priest tonight? The Bible says, We are kings and priests unto our God. Amen. Do you know that you're a priest? I think that might be new for some people here this evening. See, the religious way says, no, the pastor is the priest and Jesus is the high priest, so, and he's the only priest, so we just like worms walking around here hoping for something to happen. God says you're a priest. Amen. Because of Jesus. So I just want to throw that in there because the priests blew the trumpets and I believe that God wants all of us to blow the shofar. Amen. But more than that, I believe God wants us to respond to the blowing of the shofar, the blowing of the great shofar that blew from the beginning of time. Amen. So the first thing that's significant about the blowing of the shofar is that Joshua commanded the people to do what? What happened when the shofar blew? The walls didn't fall down. Something else happened before the walls fell down. What happened? Joshua says here, shout! It's an exclamation mark. It's nice to read your Bible like that, eh? When you see an exclamation mark, you must like not go, shout, for the Lord has given us the town. Okay? Shout! Let's say that. Shout! And guess what the people did? It says here, they shouted as loud as they could. Turn to someone next and say, as loud as you can. Okay, we're going to practice a bit of shouting here tonight, amen? Why a shout? Shouting is significant. Shouting is supposed to be a sound that's heard for a long way off, isn't that so? When you shout, you hear the sound for a long way off, isn't that so? And the shout shouldn't be only heard by the person next to you. In fact, if you shout the person next to you, you'll probably go deaf, but you should be shouting that the people miles away can hear you. I've got another clip for you to watch, okay? Some of you weren't even born when this happened, okay? Anyone born here after 1995? Okay, well, who was born like before 1995? Yes, a couple of people, okay? So, but this happened in 1995, one of the great moments in South African history. Who likes sport here? Who likes rugby? Okay, so some of you might have been watching this. I don't know, some of you were like very small, so you didn't watch this. You didn't know what life was really about. You were screaming and drinking milk and keeping your mom awake at night. But anyway, if you guys can just show this clip, a significant moment in South African history, an amazing, amazing moment. Hey, Steve, remember that? I don't know, I was in matric, so, and I had to get out the hostel to watch this, but this is amazing. Just a short one. How awesome was that shout of 65,000 people? And in fact, the shout went throughout the nation when we won that game. But the shout of many people together, the shout of imagine the shout of 40,000 Israelites all blowing this trumpet and just shouting the victory of God. Isn't that amazing? Shouting represents the releasing of voices. Shouting represents a boldness of speech. Shouting represents taking a stand. Shouting is symbolic of the army of God standing up. The church being mobilized. The church is here. Amen. And I believe there's something so special and so significant when we do release a shout. That I remember I was in Stellenbosch back in the day. Just started to get to know the Lord in His fullness and really passionate for God, and I went for a run up the Jonkershoek Mountains, and the Lord just said to me, on top of this mountain, you must shout that Jesus Christ is Lord, that these mountains can hear, and that every living thing can hear. And I was like, I wonder, hopefully there's no one around now, because it's going to look like weird, you know, like, but I know the animals, they're probably going to think I'm weird and everything, but I'm on top of this peak, and I just shout at the top of my voice, Jesus Christ is Lord, and the echo was amazing. And something was released in me of a boldness, of a, you know, because we're so shy many times and we're so like, we struggle to just you know, praise sometimes. We're so quiet, you know. And I remember coming back and showering and going to church after that, and it was like, I actually testified in front of church that night that God did something in me, because it was just a shout of praise that came out of my mouth. And something was released in me and through me, and I believe God wants to do it in our lives. He wants to release miracles through us, that as we shout, more than individually, but together, that there's a miraculous power released. Amen. And walls can fall. And it's not physical walls. God is wanting to release spiritual walls, break down spiritual walls between races, between people, any barriers between us and Him. And so the blowing of the shofar is significant, because something is released when there's a shout. And those of you who were at the prayer meeting on the 22nd, it was just incredible that amen echoing against the hills. And I mean, imagine if we had big mountains here in Bloemfontein, it would have been an incredible echo of almost a million people just shouting the victory shout of God. In Numbers 23 verse 21, there's a scripture that says the shout of the king is among them. And I believe God is saying that he's among us. It's time to shout. The shout of the king. And there's a song that goes like that. The shout of the king is among us. God lives here in our praises. Amen. And we do it every Sunday. We put effort in, and Benny and the band are doing incredible work to lead us into worship, to lead us into a place of praise where we can shout about this king that is among us. We don't just sing songs, we're declaring something week upon week, and daily in our own lives we should declare the shout of praise among us. Amen. And so it's significant that when the shofar blows, the first thing that the people do is they shout, and then God starts to do amazing stuff. But you know, when I was working through this, I just realized, you know, these guys for 6 days had to live in silence. And as charismatics, many times we're uncomfortable with the silence, and so we shout more out of a place of emotion than shouting out of a place of the Spirit is really doing this. And so the Bible says that there is a time to keep silent and a time to speak. And so I believe there is a time for silence and a time for shouting. We shouldn't always shout, but I do believe that we should come from a place of silence when we're with God. And many times we shout out of anger, and we shout out of, you know, we'll shout a lot, shout at the rugby, and we'll shout at the referee, and we'll shout at a lot of people, and we'll get excited, and a voice will come out of us, or, you know, a shout will come out of us, but if it's not necessarily the shout of God, and when it comes to God, then we're all silent, you know. And so the traditional churches are good at the silence, and the charismatics are often good at the shouting, but I believe God says, I want both. I want, out of a place of silence, I want you to shout when I say shout. Amen. And sometimes we're getting our shouting wrong. We're shouting at the wrong time, or we're shouting out of anger, and God wants us to shout at the right time. But sometimes you need to be silent first and be with God. I was at a funeral this weekend, and in a traditional church, and it was like amazing. Our, you know, the kids are told to be quiet, even like around the church, you know, like outside the church. Don't like get too excited, you know. We're in church now, on Smith Stone, you know. And it's in a way, it's right. There's a time for silence. And I, in my own life, I'm very uncomfortable sometimes with silence, because I'm so doing the happy clappy thing, you know, we used to. And there's a place for silence, but we shouldn't always be silent, amen. We shouldn't always be silent. And when the shofar blows, there's a time to speak out. There's a time to worship the God with everything in us, as loud as we could. So are you part of the army of God that's ready to make a victory declaration? Who wants to be part of, who is part of the army that makes a victory declaration? I want to be part of that. Are you, and do you want to be? So that's the first thing. When the shofar blows, there's a shout of victory. Amen. The second thing, when the shofar blows, something very significant happens. God says, now you destroy everything that doesn't glorify me. Verse 17 says, Jericho and everything in it must be completely destroyed. Turn to someone next and say, completely destroyed. And what is amazing about it, he says, as an offering to the Lord. Awesome, eh? Even the destruction is an offering to the Lord. And so what does it say? The people responded and they completely destroyed everything in it with their swords. There was amazing obedience in the story, wouldn't you say? Joshua said something. First God said it. Joshua said it and the people did it. Just read on a little bit and you'll see then disobedience happened with the sin at the Achan and at Ai and those places. Then they thought, even Joshua thought, yes, we're going to do the same thing as we did last time. People were killed. Israelites were killed because they didn't obey. But in this story, there's incredible obedience. Isn't that so? But the second thing I believe that is significant about the blowing of the shofar is that most idols, sin, and evil must be destroyed. Amen. That is what God wants to destroy. He wants to destroy everything that is not acceptable and worshiping Him. And Jericho in this story is very significant because it represented military power and its strength. And the Canaanites thought this city is invincible. Because guess how thick the walls were in places? 20 feet thick. That's 6 meters thick. How thick are walls today? I mean, that wall isn't even a couple of centimeters thick. Imagine a wall as thick as this, half of this building, half of this hall. And 25 feet high. That is amazing. And the Canaanites thought, this place is awesome. This place rules the world. And it was the center of pride. It was the center of rebellion. And they thought, nothing is going to stop this. And God said, I'm going to destroy everything that goes against my ways. A quote in one of the Bible commentaries that I have says the following. It says, why did God demand that the Israelites destroy almost everything and anyone in Jericho? He was carrying out severe judgment against the wickedness of the Canaanites. This judgment or ban usually required that everything be destroyed. And because of the evil practices and intense idolatry, the Canaanites were a stronghold of rebellion against God. This threat to the right kind of living God required had to be removed. And if not, it would affect all Israel like a cancerous growth. See, I believe there needs to be destruction of sin in our own lives. I believe God wants to destroy evil and rebellion and pride in our own lives, and it starts with our hearts. And I want you to look tonight in your own heart, and I want you to think of other people, because many times we do think of all the sinners out there, and then we don't realize, but I'm also so prideful many times. I'm also so rebellious towards God. And so the second thing, the significant thing of the blowing of the shofar is that God wants to destroy all evil, all sin, and all idols. Number three, the last one, God wants there to be a consecration of the precious things to the Lord. He says that everything made from silver, gold, and iron, and bronze is sacred to the Lord and must be brought into the treasury. And then what did they do? It says, only the things in verse 24 made from silver, gold, bronze, or iron were kept for the treasury of the Lord's house. Everything else was destroyed. You see, God is a builder. Turn to someone next to you and say, God is a builder. And God wants to use articles that are useful for building. God wants to use precious things. God cannot use cursed things. God cannot use unholy things. Amen. But guess what is the most precious thing in the sight of God? Anyone know what is the most precious thing in the sight of God? It's not these chairs. It's not those heaters that look so nice and keep us warm. It's not this building that looks beautiful. All these pictures, even those honors boards. But what is precious to God? It's people. God wants to use people to build. Amen. And tonight, you are precious in God's sight tonight. He wants to use you as a builder. Isn't that amazing? God wants to use precious things. He wants to use consecrated articles. But you know what? He says, bring them in to the tabernacle. You cannot use cursed things. You know, God is so amazing. God separates the sinner from the sin. Or should I rather say, God separates the sin from the sinner, because the sinner to God is precious. And yeah, people's lives are destroyed. Everyone who wasn't an Israelite was destroyed. All the Canaanites, all the people of Jericho were destroyed except Rahab. Why? Because she represented God's heart for people. Because she believed and she helped the Israelites do what God wanted them to do. But for us, it's a little bit different. God does not want to destroy any person. But why? Why doesn't he want to? And why doesn't he have to? Three things are significant. Number one, there's a shout of victory. Number two, there's a destruction of all sin. Number three, there's a consecration of the precious things to God. But something happened 2,000 years ago when there was a shofar that blew from heaven. And Hebrews 1 says that God has spoken in these last days by one person, and that's his son, Jesus Christ. And I believe God blew the shofar from heaven, sent his son down, and then three things happened. Number one, there was a victory shout on the cross that changed the world forever. Mark 15 verse 37 to 38. Jesus cried out with a yes, loud voice, shout. And he said, and he breathed his last, and the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. But you know what John's gospel says? It is finished! With everything in him, he shouted the last victory shout, and he breathed his last, and he died. I call it the last trumpet. Was blown, because the shofar was blown from heaven, but the last shout was given to say it's done. Isn't that amazing? Nothing more needs to be done. What is going to be done is that Jesus is going to come back and see who has responded to this trumpet call. Who has responded to this victory shout? Who has responded to the fact that it is finished? So on the cross, there was a victory shout that changed the world forever. Number two, on the cross, all evil, all idols, all sin was made provision for. There was a destruction of all sin. Listen to this. He who sins is of the devil. For the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might, same word in Joshua, destroy. See, God is a, you know, we think God is just such a nice God, and yeah, but God is a destroyer. God is a consuming fire. He's a God of love and a God of fear. And the fear of God needs to come in where sin abounds. And guess what? Jesus Christ made provision on the cross to destroy all the works of the devil. I think we should smile at Jesus tonight and say, Jesus, thank you. You know, because we cannot destroy our sin. We are so caught up in sin. And you know, when you try to destroy sin in your own life, in your own way, or not in your own life, but if you try to destroy sin in your own strength, it actually starts to come back at you. We shouldn't play with sin, guys, church. God is calling us to be a holy people. But Jesus Christ on the cross, he made provision for the destruction of every single sin. There's not one sin too great. And I don't know where you are tonight. Maybe you're caught up in a cycle of sin. Maybe you're caught up in stuff that you just cannot get rid of. I want to tell you the good news tonight. Jesus has made provision. And then lastly, I just love the way that he can separate the sinner from the sin. You know, because we struggle with it. And in the ministry, I'll be honest, in my own life, I struggle sometimes when I see people sinning. I see the sin and the sinner, and I see them as one. And so many times we judge people and we condemn people, and God just gets it right not to do that. That's the amazing God we serve. He separates the sin from the sinner. And then he says here, in Peter 1 verse 18, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, that you were bought with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. And God wants to destroy all the evil in our lives, but He also wants to say, you know what? You're a precious people. I want you to be consecrated. Bring yourselves into the temple. Bring yourselves to my presence. Bring yourselves into a place where you can be used by me. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, 1 Peter 2 verse 9, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. I want the band to come forward this evening, and we're gonna pray, and we're gonna blow the shofar in the spirit tonight, but we're gonna do it physically as well, and Shaul is gonna blow the trumpet. But I want to say that Jesus Christ on the cross, first of all, gave the last victory shout. And you know, so many times we can give a victory shout of our own strength, and we're very emotional and we're passionate and we give the shout, but our own lives are a mess many times. And outwardly we give the shout, but inwardly, God says, I want to deal with the evil in your life. I want to deal with the sin in your life. I want to destroy the sin. And I want you to be separated. I want you to be a holy people. Consecrated. Precious things. Isn't that amazing? It says there that you were redeemed not with corruptible things, not silver or gold or iron or all this stuff, because it's not a physical temple anymore. God wanted to build a physical temple in days past, but in the days gone by, He wants to build a holy and a special people called the new temple of God, the church of God, His body. And it's so special to be part of a church. It's so special to be part of God's body, isn't it so? We bought with the precious blood of Christ, and we've been called a chosen generation, chosen by Him. We've been called a royal priesthood. It means we're all priests and kings unto our God. Amen. It means we can all blow the shofar. And I see it as a time where we can be the priests and we can start to blow the shofar, because we understand God is starting to deal with our own lives. He's starting to deal with the sin, and He's starting to destroy the stuff that doesn't glorify Him. And then He sets us apart, and He said, I want you to go in and take the city, take the town, take the nation for God. His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises. And there the cycle continues. So Jesus started a cycle. God blew the shofar. Jesus shouted, destroyed evil, consecrated Himself and us to Him. And then He says, you do the same. You just tell people to do the same in their own lives. To give a victory shout. To allow sin to be destroyed and to be a consecrated holy people. And tonight, that is the gospel. This is what Jesus wants from us. That is the shofar blowing, guys. So I don't know where you are in your life with the Lord tonight. I don't know where you are in terms of the separation between yourself and the sin, and even the place of consecration. Because many times we can think we're so holy, and then God says, you know what? Even bring those good stuff into the temple. Bring that money, you know, that you've earned so hard for and that I've blessed you with. Bring your talents and your skills and consecrate it into the temple. Consecrate it into the presence of God. And then God can use stuff, and God can multiply our lives, and God can do miracles. And when we shout and when we live for His glory, you know what? People will be saved. Amen. And sin can be separated from sinners out there, and the world can come in and see these are the people living for God. So I want us to close our eyes now, and I want us actually to stand. Let's all stand this evening, and Charles is going to give a good blow, and Benny on the shofar. And then the band is going to minister to us. And I want you to respond tonight. Because there's two groups of people that I want to speak to. But let's just blow the shofar and just close your eyes and just allow the Lord to speak to you as these vessels are blown. Lord, we just want to thank you tonight, God, that you are speaking to us, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, that you have spoken to us in these last days, Lord, through your Son. And we thank you tonight, Lord, that we can just consecrate our lives to you, Lord. We can respond to this incredible voice, Lord, that we hear out of this horn, Lord, or out of a trumpet, Lord. We can just hear the incredible sound that it gives, Lord. But it's the sound of your voice calling us, Lord. First of all, calling us to praise you, and then calling us to just consecrate, Lord, that which is not of you. Even our sin, Lord, is to be destroyed for your glory. And so, Father, thank you that you're speaking to us tonight, Lord. Thank you for your presence here. Thank you that you're good, Lord. That you're worthy to be praised. I believe here tonight there's two groups of people. The first group is, as all our eyes are closed and as you're doing business with the Lord tonight, I believe there's people that God wants to really separate you and destroy the sin in your life. He wants to separate you from your sin and separate your sin from you as far as the east is from the west. He wants you to come and to give it to the Lord as an offering. Because it says here, I want to destroy Jericho as an offering unto me. I want to destroy the evil as an offering unto me. And it's not a shameful thing. It's just a thing that God is doing. And so that's the first group. If you're in that group tonight, I really believe God wants to just cause, first of all, before he does the second thing, because the second group of people are those who you will really want to consecrate yourself for God's purposes. You want to be those vessels of silver and gold and precious stones, precious things. And you want to bring yourself into the temple of God. Not a physical building, not a church, not to come to shofar, but to come into the presence of God, amen, the sanctuary, and to consecrate yourself and say, God, this life that I live, these skills that I have, these talents that I have, this money that I have, everything I have, Lord, I bring it into your tabernacle. Because guess what? Then suddenly we're not going to be debating about whether we must tithe or not, or whether we must give offerings or not, because guess what? Then everything's God's. Hallelujah. Everything belongs to the Lord. Then you can be obedient. It's easy to be obedient when you're in God's presence, because then you hear exactly what he's saying. But sometimes we're so double-minded because we're not fully consecrated. We're not fully into the temple. We're not fully into God's presence. So maybe that's you tonight. God doesn't want to deal with sin in your life now. He just wants to deal with the consecration of everything of who you are. But I believe before you get to that place, God wants to first of all deal with people in the first group, where you really need to say, God, there's sin in my life, and I want you to separate. I want you to destroy the Jericho in my life. I want you to destroy the pride in my life, the rebellion in my life, the stuff that just keeps me in bondage, whatever that may be. So I want you to just respond tonight. If you're in one of those two groups, I just want you to come forward tonight and do business with the Lord. If God is speaking tonight about any of those two things, just come, and we'd love to pray with you this evening. Just respond to the Lord's calling this evening. Don't be shy. We'd love to pray with you. So if God is speaking to you about specific things, just come. We'd love to pray with you tonight. Is going to worship and minister to us now. And I'm just going to give some time. If God is speaking to you, just be obedient to him now. He's going to do something amazing. Because then we're going to give a victory shout at the end of it all. We're going to leave here just realizing Jesus Christ is our all. Amen. The victory shout isn't about us at all. It's about him.